recording?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So last year I was at a wedding, and you guys ever been to a wedding?
Never.
Never? When do you guys go to a wedding? Anyway, those who have been to a wedding, so dancing, especially with the younger guys, so it's very labor-like, right? So, it was second dance. I mean, it's one of the songs where you go up and down. It's usually, what's that, you know what I'm saying? I realized like I'm too old to do that anymore. It's kind of like depressing a little bit, whatever. So everyone else was jumping up and down, and then an old guy, like usually old people are just supposed to like stay on the outside, enjoy and clap, whatever, you know? And then this guy was like in there, and his glasses fell, and someone, yeah. So, obviously the guy was very upset. So what do you think? What Shaila is the guy who jumped and stepped on his glasses, I have to pay for that.
What would that actual damage from the guy?
Or if it damaged him, yeah.
That was the bar mitzvah once, and this boy broke his wrist.
The bar mitzvah boy broke his wrist?
Yeah, they were going like this.
Because of someone else?
Going around, yeah. And he like twisted.
Really?
That's probably dancing.
Really. Yeah, that's rough. Yeah, same Shaila. I agree, same Shaila.
The old guy's glasses broke?
Yeah.
So he doesn't have any interest to be there.
He doesn't have any interest to be there? Okay, a good svara. Maybe he doesn't have any interest to be there, right? He's old? No. I mean, yeah. Unofficially, he shouldn't be there. You know, there's a lot of when you get to weddings, you'll see there's a lot of like unofficial rules about like, you know.
We've all been to weddings. Yeah. Just kidding before.
I'm saying when it's your friends, like which dance you're supposed to go with, whatever.
If you're dancing with a Tani phone, it's definitely orche to get down.
Yeah, I can't. Every time I've danced with a cone, I just like.
You know, I felt.
I'm just overwhelmed.
We were at the Yom HaTzmaut thing.
Yeah, it's just like go. I don't like. Why, not,
I don't want to
kill
over.
It. You know.
Like, I was rolling anyway. On the floor.
So, yeah, I love Rav Kohn. Anyway, so we're going to answer that Shaila by going through the sugya of mazik while playing sports, right? So during sports also this could happen, right? Guys who wear their glasses, right? Or even not your glasses, you trip on someone, you break your wrist, right? All these things could happen while playing sports. So what would the halacha be if I break someone's glasses while I'm playing? Am I chayav to pay? So what's the famous mission of Bava Kama, Chav Bava Manalef, regarding Adam and Mazik, right? You guys learned it. Adam Mula Olam, Bein Shogig, Bein Mezid, Bein Er, Bein Yoshin, right? A person's always chayav to pay. Even if he falls on someone by accident, totally did not intend for that at all, he's going to be chayav to pay, right? But what about, Ones, what about damage that I do that's beyond my control? What's the classic example that the Gemara talks about? So the Gemara in the Yerushalmi talks about the case for what? I go to sleep. I check my surroundings, there's nothing near there, I go to sleep. Then my friend comes, and he decides to put his phone or his glasses right next to where I'm sleeping, right on my night table, and what happens? Or he even lies down right near me, right? And then I, in my sleep, I whack him in the face, right? Or I push his phone off onto the floor, and it breaks, or I break his nose. So in that case, it's totally out of my control. I'm sleeping, right? I'm an onus, I'm a chayav to pay. Did you guys learn about that this year? I think so. Famous machlokas between Tosfos and the Ramban. Says Tosfos on Chav Zayin Amud Beis that even though we said that Adam's always chayev, whether it's b'mezid or even if it's shogeg, if it's an ones situation, like our case in the Yerushalmi, where I went to sleep and then someone put down their phone next to me and I broke it while I was sleeping, says Tosfos, in that kind of case, I am putter. Toso says, Onas Gomer, Lo Rabbi Rachmana. That's not included in the drasha that says that I'm chayv. But who argues on Tosfos? The Ramban. The Ramban in Baba Metzia says, no. Adam Hamazik is always chayv, no matter what, even if it's an onus. Oh, so how does the Ramban explain the Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi says that the guy who's sleeping is exempt, right? But according to the Ramban, Adam is always chayav, even for Ones. So why is he exempt? So what does the Ramban say? That there's another factor that you're not taking into consideration. What's that? The person who got damaged, he himself was poshea. He himself was negligent, right? He should not have put his glasses there. So the Ramban says, Adam hamazik, a person who damages, he's always going to be chayav, even if it's Ones, right? And that's why, if I'm sitting and I'm standing on the roof, right? And a wind that's totally unexpected comes and blows me off, and I fall onto a guy down below me, right? And I break his arm. I'm chayev, even though it wasn't my fault that this wind that I wasn't expecting to come came and blew me off. The only reason why in the case of the Yushalmi, I am Potter, is because the guy himself was negligent by putting his glasses there. So that's the Machlokas, Tosos, and the Rambam. So can we apply this to sports? Can you apply that to sports? So what's different about sports? So on the one hand, the damage is not, you know, usually, hopefully, it's not intentional, right? It's not, what? Right, so it's not, is it Onus Gomor? Is it Onus Gomor? No, like you could, you're in control, you're awake, you're not, you know, you could decide not to play, right? You're putting yourself in the situation you're going to play, right? On the other hand, right, the guy who's playing with you, the guy who's damaged, does he agree to play in the game? Yeah, so maybe for that reason I should be popped. So let's look at another source to try to resolve this issue. Who's heard of a sport called jousting? Jousting, yeah? So I found the New York Times has an article about jousting nowadays. So apparently there's over 300 jousters in America. This picture is from like a real jousting tournament in Florida somewhere. 300 people are still, there are 300 jousters in America, right? There was a big, back in the day, in medieval times, so jousting was a big thing. Two guys on the horses trying to charge each other, trying to knock each other off. But even nowadays, jousting is a sport. Do you think jousting appears in the Gemara or the Rishonim?
Yes.
Tosos and Sukkah talks about jousting. Fascinating Tosos. So let's analyze that Tosos. The Mishnah and Sukkah we learned last year. So the Mishnah at the end of Sukkah says the following. On the seventh day of Sukkot, right after everyone finished the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, so you had all these esrogs. So what would happen? The Mishnah says, Miyad tinokos shomten es ulevein v'ochlen es esrogein. So I don't know why this was like exciting for them, but the adults would grab the children's lulavs, and they would eat their and their esrogs, and they would eat their esrogs, right? That was like a minhag that they did on the last day of Sukkot in the Beis HaMikdash. So why was it not stealing? Why was it okay for the adults to take the esrogs out of the kids' hands? So Rashi explains, look in Rashi, Shel Tinokos, the aim of Dover lo mishum gezel, there's no issue of stealing here, but lo mishum darkei shalom, shikach nogu machla simcha, says Rashi, in this case, it wasn't considered stealing to take the esrog out of the child's hands, because that was the accepted minhag to express joy and simcha in that manner, right? It was accepted, you knew that. Come the seventh day of Sukkot, I'm a little kid. I'm so excited about my esrog, but I know some adult's going to come and take it from me.
But he still doesn't have it just to do that.
He did, because that was the accepted, that's the chiddush. That's the accepted custom. When I as a child know that when I have my esrog, that the accepted custom is that the esrog's going to be taken away from me. So it's not considered gezel. So good, that when I ask that question, doesn't the katan not have das? I mean, it could also be that there's no real gezel by a katan. Good question. Says Tosos, based on that Mishnah, we could apply it to a contemporary issue that Tosos faced. So back then, at weddings, Tosos says, how would they, instead of everyone getting into the middle and doing all sorts of, you know, eating fire and mouthwash and all that stuff, what would they do to make the chassan happy? They would joust. You ever seen the mouthwash thing? The guy pretends that, really?
What's the mouthwash?
Mouthwash thing is that you pretend, you take, a guy gets in there in the middle and he has a bottle that looks like mouthwash, right? But really, it's just powder. So he's like downing a whole thing of mouthwash. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, he's drinking mouthwash, but it's just powder. No? There's what? Fine. I guess I'm used to that. People do it with like, what's it, like flour? They take like the sugar. They like pretend they're eating flour, straight flour, but it's really the sugar. Like, it goes on donuts, you know what I'm talking about?
Powder sugar.
Yeah. All right. Try it. Do it.
What's the payoff?
It's a shtick. Everyone thinks you're drinking mouthwash. So anyway.
But if everyone does it, everyone knows you're not actually.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't get it. But apparently you guys don't know. So I guess, like at the first few weddings, everyone doesn't know. And you think it's cool and then you learn. But whatever. So you guys can try it out. So says Tosfos, based on this Rashi, based on this Mishnah telling me that there's no problem for the adults to take the esrogs, because that was just the way that everyone expressed simcha, this would explain why it's okay to joust at weddings. Why? What would happen? Says Tosos. Right? The young people who would ride the horses in front of the chasan. So what would happen? They would damage each other, right? I have my long spear thing, and I'm going to tear your shirt, right? So am I chayav to pay for the damage I did to your shirt? So no. Shame p'turin. Shekach nagu machma simchas chasan. since this was the accepted practice to do in order to make the chassan happy, there was nothing. There was no chiyuv to pay for the damages that happened. So what's Tosos saying essentially? When the two guys enter a joust, they're each taking upon themselves, like, yeah, I know I'm going to get hurt. I know my shirt's going to get ruined, right? You're not going to be responsible to pay for the damage that you did to my shirt. So how do we paskin? Says the Ramah, we paskin like this Tosos, that whenever you're in a situation where a person enters into a situation where they know the risks involved, they know that it's possible for them to get damaged, such as like paintballing that everyone does nowadays, right? Or boxing. I don't know, people don't really box, but boxing would be another example. Right? You would be Potter, says the Ramah. Paskin straight up like this Tosfos.
What does the Makaber say? Anything differently?
No. And the Ramah applies this to Purim as well. There's a famous Ramah who says, in Or Chaim, Miyesh Omrim, Din Hizik Echad is Chavir Beikach, Simchas Purim Potter Milashalim. Right? You had a Suda, everyone's with a Lebedik, someone accidentally break someone's glasses. He's also Potter because what? Everyone knows that on Purim you can get a little rowdy. Everyone's besimcha, so you're Potter. But comes the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, and they add a very important caveat to that. This whole concept that you're Potter for damaging someone in a situation where they know that it's likely for them to get damaged, says the Mishnah Berurah, there's a difference between when it's by accident versus when it's deliberate. Look at the Magen Avraham. Dafka. Udafka shehizik mamona v'gufo chayiv. I put on the wrong one. Sorry. Yeah, the last one. Umakin zedzeh. The last line. Umakin zedzeh p'turin. Ubilvad shalois kavnu. When are the two guys who are in a situation like jousting? When are they potter? A situation where the damage comes as a result of the normal course of the game, right? So let's say a basketball game, right? Even the NBA, it's actually like this, right? There's a difference between a regular foul and a flagrant foul, right? A regular foul, so there's no fine for what you do, right? But a flagrant foul, so I was Googling last night, the rules are you actually get fines for stuff like that. Why? Because then it's deliberate. So too in halacha, right? If at the wedding, what? I'm just dancing and I step on someone's glasses, so that wasn't my fault, right? So in that case, I'm going to be potter because this guy knew by being in a circle full of young guys, something could happen to him, right? But for me to purposely go up to someone, even at a wedding, even at a Purim Suda, right, and punch him in the face and break his glasses, of course I'm going to be chai for that. So that, in fact, was the answer to that Shaila, right, that since this older gentleman, right, knew that being in that situation of a circle of guys, that it's very likely he can get hurt, so the younger person was not chai to pay for the damages done to him. So that's the sugya of mazik and of during sports. Generally, you assume you're not going to be chai for damage that you do, unless it's very deliberate. Just want to end with a word on the parsha. So, here I'll say a word on Sukkos, because you know everyone's probably talking about Sfira. Sukkos is also Muslim's parsha. Anyway, so the Torah says that we sit in the sukkah. Why? Laman yedu darosechem ki basukos oshafti. In order to remember that Hashem surrounded us, according to one view, by the clouds in the desert to protect us. So the Chida, Rav Chaim Yosef Dov Azulai, asked the following question, right? Brothers and sisters in the room, Chida. So he asked the following question. There were three supernatural nisim in the desert. Who knows?
The bear, the mon,
and the clouds, right? So why don't we make a yontif for those things, right? We have a yontif of Sukkos to remember the clouds. Why don't we have a yontif to remember the well? I don't know what it would be. Probably cool. Like a water fight. I don't know what it would be. We'd have like to remember the well, right? Or remember the mon. I don't know what that would be either. But why not those miracles? So the Chida says a very simple, beautiful idea. He says, the fact that Hashem provided us with water and provided us with mon, so he had to do that, right? If we didn't have food, if we didn't have water to drink, we would have died. So of course that Hashem had to give those things, right? The anonim, the clouds that got rid of all the scorpions, that made the ground flat so we could have an easy time walking, that was purely just out of Hashem's love for us. So something like that, a miracle like that, that's what we make a yontif for. Sure. Okay.